To Proverbs chapter 25, and I thought Brother Tim told me about that one verse, and I thought, man, I got a special, just kind of short message for anybody that's upset about singing only one verse. It's I titled it "Rule Your Spirit." Amen. I'm not joking. Proverbs 25, and I am joking about that. That is what we're going to look at. Just rule your spirit. And I'm not going to be long on purpose. I'm more kind of almost, I think, just a little devotional, if you will. But this is just something the Lord put on my heart. And just as I was reading my devotions this week, this verse stood out to me. And I think it's something we got to remember all the time as a child of God, because we are to be salt and light. And that's what we've been called to be in this world. The world is going to see the reflection that we put off. That should be a reflection of Christ. The world is going to taste the savor that we give off, and they should taste something that is savory, not something that's sour. Amen. And many times, if we're not careful, we can give off something that is quite different than Christ if we're not going to control our spirit. And what's taking place when we're not controlling our spirit is we're allowing the enemy to come in and to ruin. We're allowing the enemy to come in and sow tares in our field. And however you want to put it, we can put a lot of different analogy. But where Christ should be seen, we allow something vastly different than Christ to be seen many times. And so I want to be encouragement to you tonight. Just one verse, Proverbs 25 and verse number 28. It says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, I ask you just for just a couple minutes, Lord. We're just going to talk about this idea of controlling our spirit. And Lord, I pray that you just Lord, help us to be introspective. And God, that we'd be honest with ourselves. And certainly many of us, from time to time, we do not control our spirit, me included. And Lord, I pray that you just would help us to be able to give off a right view of who you are. God, you're in control. You have all power. You have all might. You have all strength. And God, it's all available to us if we would allow our spirit to be controlled by your spirit. Lord, help us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The idea of rule or ruling over one's spirit is the idea of control, that we would have control. The Word of God uses the word rule, so we'll use that word as well. But when one does not have rule or control over his own spirit, it gives the idea of a city with walls that are broken down. These broken down walls leave a city open for attack, and we can think of the day. Back in the day of when the Proverbs would have been written, it was the walls that kept an enemy out. It was the walls that provided safety for a city. It was a sign of a strong city when they had walls around it. It was a sign of a protected city when it had walls around it. And when the walls were down, it would be easily destroyed. It would be laid prey for enemies to come in and to spoil it and to take advantage of it. And I think we can kind of in our mind think of Nehemiah, and when he heard the message that the walls of Jerusalem were torn down, it was a breaking of his heart. It burdened his soul because he knew what that meant for the city of Jerusalem. And the scripture tells us that if we do not accept the responsibility of keeping ruling our spirit in a right way, we become equal to that broken down city or the broken down walls of that city. We make ourselves susceptible to the enemy. We make ourselves susceptible to the attack of the enemy. And there can be many different enemies that can attack us. Our spirit can be affected in many different ways. And the idea of some is foes. We can have foes. There can be people that can allow that at our job. There can be people in our life that bring criticism in. And that can hurt our spirit, right? When we're criticized, when somebody looks at the things that we're doing and allow, and they would belittle it or act as if it's not, to their standard. And there's criticism that come down. It can allow us to be affected. It can allow our spirit to be affected. We can have negative people around us. Amen. There's a lot of negative people in the world, and they love to point out how half empty glasses are, you know, and they're willing to point it out in your life. And there's some, I'm telling you, I've been around some people who can just pull the spirit of joy right out of you if you let them. And the reality is they just are negative people, and they can rob us of our joy. We can ruin our day. They can cause us to lose focus on who God is and what God wants us to do. And we can have many foes, and we understand that we have the devil is one that that just shoots fiery darts. And he shoots them at you all the time. And a fiery dart was to just to be a distraction. That's what a fiery dart was. It was just to start a little fire to keep an army distracted while another army was invading. And if you're trying to put out a fire instead of attacking the army that's advancing on you, then they're gaining ground while you're busy putting out fires. And many times we have little fires in our life that are burning everywhere, and we're running around trying to stamp out all the little fires that are around us instead of realizing that we have a foe and an enemy that's coming out to destroy us. And many people find themselves destroyed, not because of all sorts of big problems in their life, just because they were just busy taking care of those little fires and that the foe was putting out there. We can have friends and family that can be that can affect our spirit. We can allow friends and family to affect us. And as human beings, we have as just part of our nature, we love to be accepted. We all do. You go somewhere and you feel accepted by the people that are there. You're more apt to go back. And so we have a reality that many times people will even, we call it peer pressure, but people will be affected by the thoughts and the feelings and the direction of other people in a great way, even to do things that they would never even think of doing on their own, because they want to be accepted by the people who are around them, and therefore they'll yield to sometimes unthinkable things because of those pressure. We've called it before the people trap, and many people they are just caught in that trap that Christ talked about when he looked at the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he says, and their generation, the generation of men, and he says, I'm going to liken to you unto children playing in the marketplace, and he says, we have piped and you've not danced. And we've mourned and you've not wept. And basically, it's just a group of children sitting around and says, this is the game we're playing. You need to play the game that we're playing. And guess what? They change the game, and you got to change the game with them. And if you don't go along with them, they'll point out that you're not part of the group and you're not one of us. And then you're all on your own. And the reality is we can get caught in a people trap of just trying to please our friends and family and just try to keep up and make them all happy. And I'm telling you, sometimes that can be very difficult to deal with, especially family. It can be difficult to deal with and trying to make everybody happy and forgetting the reality is that the only person I have to make happy in this world is God. Amen. That's literally the only person. I mean, my friends and family. I want to please my mom and dad. I want to have fellowship with my brothers and sisters. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to have fellowship with my fellow man. But the reality is, I cannot leave the will of God to do so. I have to be led of the Spirit of God. And then sometimes we can say it like this: the facts of life. The facts of life, and the scripture tells us that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward in Job 5:7. It's just a reality. You start a fire, sparks are going to come out of it. And guess what? Your life is going to be the same way. It's born into trouble. You're going to have flat tires. You're going to have bad weather. Amen. Flat tires, James. Where's James? Praise the Lord. Amen. Ask James about flat tires. Amen. Financial problems, financial struggles. You're going to have broken furnaces. You're going to have all sorts of different things that are. Listen, that if you allow them to, they can affect your spirit. They can just be enemies to your spirit, and the effects of that, a bad spirit can affect us in a few ways. A bad spirit can affect our perception. It can affect how we look at things, and because of our unhappiness with the unhappiness that is within us, we can see everything in a negative way. We can look at any situation. We can find the bad in it if our spirit is hurt and our spirit is hindered. And we can look at other people even doing good things, and we can judge them in such a way that, they don't have as hard a life as I have, and they don't have the struggles that I have, and they don't have the problems that I have. And the reality is you have no idea what they're facing. It just might be the fact that they are able to handle their problems with the right spirit, and you're not. It's just very much because every one of us have our own set of circumstances and troubles, and you might look and say, they're doing good and I'm not. Well, you don't know what they took through, what they went through to get to a place where they're doing good. Maybe everything in the past isn't as rosy as you want to think it is, but the reality is that our spirit can affect our perception of the things that's around us. I remember the story of the grandfather who fell asleep, and his grandkids decided to play a joke on him, and they got Limburger cheese and they rubbed it in his mustache and beard, and he woke up from his nap and he went out and he sat up in the seat and he said, "Man, something just stinks in here. Just smells awful in here." And he got up and said, "Martha, it just smells awful in this house." And he walked all through the house. He said, "This room stinks and that room stinks." He said, "I'm going outside." And he gets outside and he takes a big breath of fresh air outside and says, "Man, it stinks out here. The whole world stinks." Come on. Our perspective can be changed and can be wrong. And sometimes we just got to acknowledge that our spirit is wrong, and we're seeing things from a wrong perspective. We're seeing things from the wrong... and we need to change our perspective. When we have a bad spirit, we don't see things in a proper perspective. Our troubles become maximized, and our blessings become minimized. And most of us have more blessings in our lives than we do burdens. Amen. Especially in America. Amen. We have more blessings in our lives than we do have burdens. I'm not saying we don't have burdens and you don't have a cross to bear. And I'm not trying to minimize your burdens. But the reality is that you have a great amount of blessings. A good marriage. I have sweet children. I have a loving church family. I have material possessions and provision. And that's just on the physical side of things. My goodness, on any day that I wake up, I want us to never forget that at the worst day we ever have, we also have eternal salvation that's been given to us. And the worst day I have on this earth is the worst day I'm ever going to face for all of eternity because of that. And we need to keep a right perspective. And then it can affect our potential as well. You have a wrong spirit, it can affect your potential. And you go into a job interview and say, "You aren't hiring anybody, are you?" Guess what? You might not get hired. I mean, just by the attitude and spirit you address in, "I need a job, I'm willing to work, and whatever you have, I'll do." I'm telling you, everybody's looking for somebody like that. They are. McDonald's is always looking for someone like that. Amen. But a bad spirit can accomplish, little for the betterment of your personal life and very little for the cause of Christ. You can become very unattractive to other people. We have a poor spirit. When you have a poor spirit and your potential to influence people, it decreases for the cause of Christ. And we find ourselves in a very critical mood all the time. So I just want to quickly, just two things to suggest. I mean quickly, I'm almost done. suggestions to help us keep our spirit right. Number one, you need to keep a right focus in your life. You need to have a right focus in your life. And our focus that we should have in our life is to be God. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It says this, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." How good a peace? Perfect peace. Come on. You and I, our spirit can go woo, up and down based upon all our circumstances. And if we have a right focus on God, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." It doesn't matter what happens in the rest of the world. It doesn't matter what happens around me. I can be in perfect peace if I'll look to God and trust in God. I can have a spirit that has right peace. I don't have to have a spirit that's vulnerable to the enemy. I don't have to have a spirit that allows me to be continually attacked and allows me to be discouraged, allows me to suffer loss. I can have a spirit that is a strong, mighty city because I have a God that's fighting for me. Amen? And while I might have walls, I don't even, honestly, I got walls up and built up, but I don't really need them because I'm trusting in God to keep me safe in the first place. Our God is good. He's loving, he's kind, he knows exactly what you need in your life. And if you trust in him, when you have circumstances that come around and they want to hinder you, when you have foes that come around and they want to discourage you and they want to break your walls down, listen, if you'll trust in God, I promise you that you'll be able to have a proper spirit. If you'll keep a proper focus. David said in Psalm 27, verse 13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And if you watch people and you're keeping your eyes on people and you're meditating on what people are doing, I can guarantee you this, you're probably going to find yourself given to the spirit that those people put you in. But if you'll find yourself focused on God, you're going to see something amazing take place, and that God's spirit is able to take control of your spirit and cause you to see through the eyes of God that which he is doing. Focus on the good that God is doing around you. Not everyone is critical. Not everyone's judging you. Not everyone's against you. Not everyone's trying to hurt you. Not everyone's trying to harm you. Not everybody's negative. Not everybody is disloyal. Not everyone has left the church. Not everyone is insecure. Not everyone is a hypocrite. Rather than focusing on those things that would discourage you and that would harm your spirit, get your eyes upon the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6 says the people were ready to stone him, but it says this, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord." He was getting ready to, everybody was against him, and he just looked to God and he found encouragement from God. So keep a right focus. And then I'd say this, that focus is on God. And then I'll also say this, keep right friends. Surround yourself with the right kind of people. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Now listen, you need to surround yourself with people that are going to encourage you in the Lord. You surround yourself. I'm not saying that you say, "Well, so I shouldn't talk to anybody that's negative." No, they need help too. They do. But I'm not going to spend my entire effort on folks that are negative and folks that are going to discourage me. I need to be built up. I praise the Lord, brother Wayne Hardy, and brother Dave Hardy, and I ask you to pray for him. He's in the hospital. He's been here before, but one of my wife's favorite preachers, and a good man of God. And he always would tell us this: you better make sure your reservoir is full if you're going to minister to people. You better make sure your reservoir is full. We understand the idea of a reservoir is where water flows into a place and then water is let out. And there's always more water in the reservoir than they're letting out. And so, yes, we need to minister to people that are discouraged. We need to minister to people that are downhearted. We need to minister to people that have a negative spirit. But listen to me. I better, if I'm going to recognize that I'm getting around people like that, better also get myself around people that are in tune with God, that are in love with God, that have their focus on God, and that can remind me that, listen, you need to lift up your eyes from whence cometh your help. And so you need to surround yourself with the right people. All of us are human. We all have a tendency to become down and discouraged. If we're not careful, having friends with have friends with a good spirit, right attitudes, good heart, will do much to help keep us in a right spirit and a right heart. We must spend our time with people that are going to lift our spirit, not tear us down. I'm telling you, there's something wrong in church. There can be, and it exists. Where churches can get so to a point where they're just cliquish, that we don't come here to the purpose of edifying or building up. We just come here for the purpose of self-edification, that I might get what I want. And we always need to be mindful about that, that when people come here, that there's a group of people that are here to build them up and lift them up and encourage them. And while you might have walked in and you're completely drained, and while you might have come here and there's some discouragement, you leave here encouraged, because the people of God are reminding you that, hey, listen, you're not alone. We're here with you, and we're to fight with you. And it's amazing how people can get out of church and they can get themselves separated from the house of God and among the people of God, and they find themselves just sitting around moping like nobody cares about me anymore, and nobody is ministering unto me. Friend, get yourself in a place where you can get ministered to. And if you say, I know somebody like that, remind them, listen, we still haven't forsaken you. You friend, have forsaken us. That's why the instruction gives us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Because listen, God knows that you have need of good fellowship. Good fellowship. And Lord, help us that we would always be a kind of friends and the kind of believers and the kind of assembly that would be using everything we have for the edification of one another when we come to the house of God. Listen, this world needs Christians that are going to be strong, built up cities, not cities left in ruins. They should see that you have a life that's to the glory of God, that you have a life that would be honoring unto God. And understand with me, that's keeping our focus on God, and also keeping ourselves in the right kind of fellowship with those who are around us. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight.